This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, the show is about to start in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Good evening and welcome to the Sunday Night Debrief with myself, Mickey Simpson, and Stephen Jones. You just need to get used to which way you need to point, didn't you? So
I did the same thing with Ben on Friday. I was like this, because I never know what way it works.
No, that's it, isn't it? So, yeah. How are you, sir? You okay?
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. It's another weekend goes by. I don't want to say yesterday was disappointing.
But you're going
to think it wasn't disappointing, but I left the ground feeling it was a missed opportunity.
Right.
So whilst you never really want to accept a point at home in your home games against teams that you perhaps should beat, I think after losing three games in a row and conceding, three against Leicester, three against Middlesbrough. And then who was the other one after that? Who did we lose to? Two against QPR. To actually earn a point, it stops the rot.
Yeah, I mean, where are we? I keep looking at YouTube on there, but it's on here. So, let's look at there's some of the comments coming in so far. Good evening, Dang. Riggs, good evening, Ken Clark. Let's have a look at some of the others. Good evening, Chris. Good evening. Need to move my phone away from there, or else it'll keep buzzing. Oh, I can turn it off. Mickey left and Steve on the right, just like Anton Deck. Thanks for that.
It could be worse. It could be a lot worse. We could be called a lot worse, mate.
Oh, I probably do get called a lot worse, but you know, hey ho, it is. It is what it is. So, no dramas there, mate. Where are we? Let's have a look at there. There we go. Right, here we go. Let's have a look and see what the comments are. So it was a good game of football, much better than last week's. That starting lineup was baffling.
The starting lineup was very interesting. We didn't have, it didn't go the way we thought it was going to go. The changes from QPR, was it one?
What's happened there? Why is that so shit?
Sorry, two. Danny Mac and Duncan Watmore were out, and it was Tanganga in, and then Longman was obviously further up the pitch. The two midfielders were. The comments look very different on the.
Yeah, I mean, there's a change. I mean, I don't know. Let's have a look. That looks all right. We should keep it like that. What do you reckon?
Evening, guys. Can Stephen please say a big hello to Courtney Jackson and her mum, Helen Jackson? Hello, Courtney and Helen Jackson. Hope you're both well.
You got no idea who they are, have you?
No. I must admit, no. But hello. Hope you're well. It was just baffling that, you know, we all thought Sav, Denor would at least one of them would start. I think we all thought that maybe it would be a bit of a shake-up from last week. Well, I certainly thought it would be a shake-up from last week. And when the team was announced, it was a little bit, you just felt a little bit flat.
So who did we have? We had Sarkic in goal, Tandanga on the left, Harden in centre, Cooper on the right, Norton Cuffey on the left, Honeyman, Mitchell, Bryan, and then Longman on the left, Nesbitt on the right with Fleming up front. Yes?
Yeah, I mean, the other thing with it as well, what I found really, really strange was that Kevin Nesbitt has got a lot of pelters recently, and deservedly so. But he's a striker. Why start him out on the left? I don't really understand. I don't get that. On a flip side to that, by putting Fleming in the middle, I actually thought it was Fleming's best game for a while. I know I got hammered for criticising him in the Leicester game where he got a goal and assist, but I thought he played quite well. And centrally scored his goal. And it looked like it was a tactical sort of masterstroke from Joe Edwards with the team selection. And for 20 minutes, 25 minutes, I thought we were quite good. Not, it wasn't, you know, a bombardment of chances. It wasn't a, you know, we didn't batter their goal and you know, pin them back in. But we dealt with their threat. We had a lot of the ball, had a couple of chances, half chances. And then the curse of the Millwall way this year. I thought Tanganga for the first 25, 30 minutes was very, very good. But his pass, bit casual, which we'll probably touch on a bit later, because I thought he was quite casual for most of the game. Give the ball away. We were caught up the pitch. There was people were talking and blaming Joe Bryan. I think it was a little bit harsh on Bryan, because he's expecting us to go forward. He's expecting the centre half to get the ball out to the midfielders and the play to be spread, and we get caught. But however, the other defenders who seemingly just didn't move, they didn't try to cover the angle. We ended up with two players on the line. Where Jake Cooper ended up, I have no idea. Someone should have at least made an effort to try and close the ball down. And it was just, it was very strange, much like Middlesbrough, another game, start really, really well, concede a poor goal through our own mistake, and we've gone flat again. We don't, I think there's a comment coming up
that
we'll get to. No, from David, Dave Clark, saying that we don't capitalise, and we don't capitalise on the start that we made. And unfortunately, at this level, I didn't actually think personally, I don't know what the guys in the comments thought, but I didn't think Preston were particularly good. They didn't do anything. They set up for a point, and for a team that was quite high flying and had ambitions of making the top six. I know perhaps we had the same ambitions as well, but to come and just not really do anything, I was quite disappointed with them, but we couldn't make it count.
I'm going back to that way. That's better, isn't it?
Yeah. It's easier to see, isn't it, for the people?
Yeah. So, take my son Xander to his first game versus Barrow on March 9th. Flights and hotels booked. I'm a bad parent. Where are you coming from, Jonathan? Is that the Canada? No, it's not Canada.
And no, how old? I think he's from Scotland, that fella, because he was talking about golf a couple of weeks ago with Ben.
Oh, yeah.
How old's your son, Jonathan? Fleming was extremely good first half, but played away from the centre, wasn't in the game as much. SA looked a little lost at times, and when challenged, lost the ball on most occasions. Mike, I think you know this, but I have to disagree with you. After the game yesterday, we shared a bit of an opinion on SA. I actually thought SA showed glimpses of promise, I thought he wanted the ball. I thought confidence certainly isn't an issue with Romain Essay, because he wants the ball. He wants to try and get involved in the game. He does need to do a little bit more, but first and foremost, the fact that we haven't seen him for weeks, and then all of a sudden he was our first sub and got 45 minutes. I think if Longman is potentially injured, we might see a little bit more of him. But I think for someone that's not played that much football, I thought he did okay. Again, needs to do a little bit more, but I thought he was okay.
Brian is a good player, but he seems to be a bit frail in defence. Can't we play him on the left wing with Murray left back?
Paul, I don't know if you caught our show on Friday. Ben, Northern Wall, he was saying it's a very similar thing. Brian is not defensively sound at the moment, and I think it could be an option. Pace possibly lets him down because he's not the quickest, but certainly I think Murray Wallace in an actual defending position and Brian in front of him could work.
I think Connor's nailed it right on the head there. Do you know what I mean? Fleming is pretty much the target man striker, what we needed for however long, yet no one's actually played in there. Look at him take that header 5 minutes in and he was just there, glance, bang, done. Goal.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've been talking on here, haven't we, for weeks about trying Fleming through the middle. And as I say, Edwards put him through the middle for the first time, I think, for I might be corrected by someone in the comments, but I don't think we've seen him play as advanced in the middle under Joe Edwards. And it was his best, well, the first half was his best performance for me in a while. So we might see a little bit more of that. The only issue I have is that if that then means that the likes of Nisbet, Bradshaw and maybe Obafemi are going to be shoved out wide. So it's quite that's quite tricky. But I agree, Connor. I think the physical presence, he might not win every header, but his physicality, he's got that strength to hold the ball up a little bit better. Miles, SA did amazing, although Fleming went missing after that goal. Fleming was good for the first half. Second half, back to the same old Millwall. They shoved him out on the left and it makes him ineffective. It frustrates the life out of me that we do it, but I think he was all right in the first half.
I mean, Dundee, he's 12. He says he likes Man City, but that's a way, going to be a change, obviously about to change. How did Man City get on today? Did they end up winning? Because I know they were 2-2, weren't they, at one point?
No, that's Man United. It's United.
Was it Man United, Newport?
United won 4-2 in the end, but they were 2-0 up and then Newport got it back to 2-2.
See, we listen, Cole. Don't worry, mate. Those of us who don't have the eyes, mate, we listen and we've helped you out there. I don't know why it was different, but hey, it is what it is. We're a goal scorer away from being a good team. Yeah. A phobia and Brad is up front when he's fit and Nesbitt needs a spell on the bench. Yeah, pretty much. I don't think he's necessarily, I don't know. I think maybe his confidence is low. Don't forget, if you're watching, well, you are all watching on YouTube because we are only streaming to YouTube tonight. Make sure you click the like button. Come on. What are you doing? There's loads of you in here and less than 10% of you, or about 15% of you have only pressed a like. Come on. Play the game. Agree with Chris Brown.
Yeah, that was the comment about Nisbet having a spell on the bench, I believe.
Oh, okay, yeah. I thought it was about the 49ers playing tonight. So yeah.
There's a couple of comments coming through. There's one from Dan I was going to touch on. It's almost as if he's been privy to what we were going to talk about beforehand. I think there needs to be a discussion, and again for the guys in the comments, Jake Cooper is slowly
you off you go, fella, you know you want to go for it, so off you go, mate.
Here we go. Jake Cooper is fella. slowly undoing a lot of the good that he's done in a Millwall shirt over the years. We signed a new term deal, but for me, he only ever plays well when Sean Hutchinson's next to him. Positionally, he's not very good. Obviously, we know that pace is going to be an issue when you're 6'5", but he's not a leader. This is where, coming on to Dan's comment here, still no leadership in the team. Cooper isn't the same without Hutch next to him. We lack a leader, and that is a problem we've got at the moment, and that's why it's no coincidence, personally, I don't think, that we look better when Sav and Denor come on the pitch. Savile is a leader. And
Savile is a leader. La, 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 la. La, 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 la. There's a chant for you, isn't it?
I just think that we seemingly have given Jake Cooper the captaincy because he's the longest serving player in the team after Sean Hutchinson. And I know it all makes sense. I know that's what usually happens, but he's not a captain. He's not a Millwall captain. And it's we need someone else to take that off of him.
No,
and moving forward, and that's moving forward. Moving forward as well with Cooper, he's not going to play with Sean Hutchinson much more for Millwall, because I don't see Hutch staying long term now. He may get offered a short term deal, but I don't think he will. So you've got the problem where Cooper's never really looked the same when he's had to play with any other centre back. Okay, you can look at Wes Harding. He's a bit hit and miss, and I'm sure the guys in the comments will potentially agree or disagree on that. But when you've got Cooper and Harding in the back too, it just doesn't feel you have any confidence. But for me, George Savile should be Millwall captain.
So come on and get in the comments, Savile or Cooper as your captain, or if you think another player should be, then put them in. But yeah, let's get some comments moving. Let's try and catch up with these.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree.
A lot to do with Harding, Stephen.
I do agree with that. But if you look over the years, when Sean Hutchinson has not played alongside Jake Cooper is not the same player at all.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. QPR, we sat next to, we sat just in front of Harding's wife and family.
I was next to them at which is obviously for the Leicester in the Cup game. We were at the side. We were next to them.
It's mad. They're right at the back at the top at QPR, right in with the fans. Do you know what I mean?
Mm. Oh, so, they've proper bought into it. They bought into it. Well, they sounded like they'd bought into it when at the
end. Yeah, we said to him, like, how's he thinking? How's he getting on here? And what's his thoughts of it and all that? And they said they love it. And we went, where do you prefer living? London or Rotherham? And they went, do I need to tell you?
That's a no-brainer, that, isn't it?
Yeah. Would Honeyman be a good skipper as Savile isn't starting now?
Possibly. Hi, Mickey and Stephen. My daughter Courtney Jackson works at the club, and you should know that she entertains the crowd outside, then inside the ground. She wears the 93 home kit.
I know she is. We know she is. That's Zampa.
Okay.
Or Bellina.
Bellina, I think,
yeah. Jake needs a strong player next to him. Harding isn't that player, so he then appears to have no confidence. It is a problem. Yeah, Savile, captain. Mm-hmm. 3 weeks ago was saying Cooper was a rock and him and Hutch were part of 3 clean sheets. Wes Harding is useless.
On that, Bailey, I agree 100%. But the key part of what you said there is the fact that he was with Hutchinson. Because Hutchinson takes the armband, Hutchinson's the leader, and he guides him through the games. When he's not there, it's a different issue. It's a different story, totally agree.
Also, Brian needs a centre-back who is faster that can cover him. Absolutely. We're going through these now. Look, Andrew Roberts says, Sav is our captain. La, 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 la. so does Ken Clark.
Tell you what, so Mickey, Miles. sing that song every time someone says Sav for captain.
Denor is different class. He sticks out like a sore thumb in our team. Him and Norton Cuffey are way ahead of the rest in quality. Fully agree. So, Sav is our captain. La, 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 la. And then we go, la, la, la.
I've la, seen how he's coming.
La, la, la. La, la, la. I know. There we go. Oh, no. No. There we go. Could have seen yesterday how the game changed when Sav got on the pitch yesterday.
We dominated the second half. Let's not. When I say that, I don't mean that we had hundreds of chances, but we had a lot more of the ball. We just couldn't, as Carl said there. Why is it we dominate teams for a while? We don't score goals. We had a lot of the ball, and Honeyman and Mitchell did do it as well. But we just look better with Evening Richard. We do look better with Sav and Denor on the pitch. I think Denor had been on the pitch for about 30 seconds and he played a pass inside the fullback and we won a corner off of it. And that's what you're missing with Honeyman and Mitchell. They don't have the ability in my opinion, to play that killer pass that Denoor has.
Yeah. No, I get it. But wasn't it Honeyman who kicked the ball in for the goal?
From across, that was fantastic. Yeah. But when you need to unlock a defence with one pass, Denoor's the one that can do that. He'd been on the pitch for 30 seconds and played a killer pass.
Peckham Poet says, love Cooper, but thinks Sev is better game reader and game changer than Coop. Several captains. Yep. Harding's family rule at Leicester away too. Sav for captain. Agree. We got Robbo, one of our greatest ever captains. Coaching the kids. Why is he not working directly with Coops and mentoring him? I don't know. Barry Taylor, Saville is a natural captain, but would he start every game under Edwards? Good question, that. I don't know. I think he might going forward, but at the moment, I think the problem is that Edwards is now, 13 games? I mean, 13 weeks, 14 weeks, thereabouts. And I think he's still trying to figure out what team he wants, because obviously he needs to bring players in. Mm-hmm. He needs to figure out what team it has. Whether or not we make another, when does it close? 1st of February it closes, doesn't it, I think?
Thursday? Is that Thursday?
1st of February, I think it is. It closes, well, Wednesday, isn't it, I think?
Thursday,
1st of February. Yeah. And I think possibly we might get one, maybe two more in, possibly. I'm not 100%. And then once he's got the players he wants in, then I think you're going to start seeing his team. And I think that where someone else said earlier, you know, the new boy in SA down the wings, I think that could potentially, you know, that pace would scare the shit out of most defences.
Yeah. And I think there was a comment earlier, and there were so many tweets about it, that the team that ended the game yesterday should be the team that starts at Hull. And if you look at that team, I'm not saying that it's going to be the team that starts. Maybe it should.
Yeah.
But you've got Tanganga with a bit of pace at the back. Harding, I know he's suspect, but he is a little bit quicker, so he has got a bit of movement. I know he's a bit 50-50, but he's still got a bit of movement. Denoor is busy. Yeah. Sav is your leader. SA, bit of creativity. Fleming was on the pitch. Obafemi with pace. Brooke Norton, Cuffy, they're the players that Joe Edwards wants in his team. He wants fast, quick footballers. And I think that's what we'll see. Yeah. Stephen Bevan commented and said we're getting closer to being a third division side. I don't think we'll go down this year. I think
sleepwalking.
I don't think we'll go down this year, but I'm very, very confident on is that come the first game of next season, Joe Edwards' Millwall side is going to look a lot like the team that played yesterday. Won't be the personnel, but it'll be players that are quick and can move the ball a lot quicker than what we can.
Yes, Chris, it was me. There are a lot of others out there sharing the video pretending it's them, but no, it's mine. It was mine. And it's the same as anything. When you put a video out, what becomes quite funny, everyone copies it. And I don't necessarily, I have tagged it on YouTube so that if anyone steals that one, I know it's mine. But it's up on TikTok and Instagram and all that, and people nick it. It's going massive on TikTok at the moment. I think it's about 350,000 views or whatever. So madness, absolute madness. But it had to be done. I saw the video and I was surprised that no one had already done it. And then I just thought, done it. And I've got that Benny Hill music saved on my phone. So it's literally, I'd done it for a West Ham video a while back where that geezer was running up the escalator and he kept falling down because I put the Gladiator tune on and then I got hit for a copyright strike for the Gladiator tune. So I redid it with the Benny Hill. And also when West Ham were being chased on a European game somewhere where they were being chased and I used it for that. So it's those of you of a certain age remember Benny Hill and it was slapstick telly, and that tune just it just works with that ref one. It just works, especially I've edited in and let the geezer run a little bit. And then it just went as soon as the ref starts running, you'll see that my edit, as soon as the ref starts running, then it's and it just runs. So
what's really funny about that, on the way home when there was traveling back from the ground, my dad saw that on Twitter and he went, someone needs to put the Benny Hill music on. And literally within 5 minutes, your tweet had gone out.
Yeah. It's funny as hell, mate. Do you know what I mean? And it had to be done. And that's it. It's just funny, mate. It's not my video, it's in the original video, but it is my Benny Hill music on it. So yeah. But hey ho. You'll have so many people out there telling me it's not. I had some fella tell me on TikTok, I said, you could have credited me if you're going to nick the video. And he went, I got it sent to me on WhatsApp and I put the Benny Hill music on. And you're like, fuck me, you're brilliant, because it's the same fucking edit. It's the same, you know, yeah, great, great stuff. Disappointed for our new chairman. Seems every time he visits a den, we either lose or draw. Don't think he's seen us win there yet. Middlesbrough. Beginning of the season, wasn't it?
But not at the den, because that was away, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, he ain't, no. Has he seen us win at the Den?
Was he at Norwich for the last game?
Don't know. Sad for Cap. SA was playing FIFA Street yesterday with the Preston defence. SA, if you're watching and you play FIFA, really, Stephen would take you on when he does his live stream. Stephen, do you want to bring in what you've got for the live stream? People who donate... perfectly linked. We are fucking professional.
We're a professional outfit here at That Mill Podcast. And as Mickey said yesterday, I picked up my home shirt that I'm raffling off.
Can I just say something? Why can't they fucking do that in gold?
Well, I actually don't think it's in person. It actually looks a lot better. Oh, okay. It's quite difficult on here, but it looks quite good. I picked this up yesterday, so everybody that's donated to my Just Giving page will be entered into a raffle. I'll be doing the draw probably next weekend after the stream. If you haven't donated and you would like to, let me know. We can put the link in the chat. We'll put it in the descriptions. It's all over my social media. I'm sure I'm boring all of you with me mentioning it every week. I know I'm boring Mickey, but I really appreciate all of the donations. I've raised 575 quid so far. So it's really, really...
we'll be putting those boxes we showed up on Raphael this week. Over the next day, that will go up.
I also, just as I say with the shirt, I don't know if he listens, but big thanks to Mark Litchfield for helping me get that organised. I picked that up off of him yesterday at the club, so thank you very much, Mark.
Good lad. Mark's a massive Millwall family and all that, mate. He's a good lad.
Yeah, he is.
Fleming was good first half, playing more centrally, and then when we switched shape to move him out on the left wing again, frustrating. I'm happy with the way he's setting up the team. I'd rather us go down and start to play 4-4-2 and play with more guts and aggression.
Yeah, the old 4-4-2, unfortunately, I don't think we'll ever see that at Millwall again. But I think there's certainly a call to have two strikers. How you do that, I don't know. But I certainly would like to see us with two strikers. Maybe Fleming and Obafemi. That could be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe. Steve Bevan says, I see we've been linked with Alex Pritchard. Fuck, maybe we get linked with him every
time. Yeah, but that was Stephen, just for your information, that was from a transfer rumour account that said that Billy Mitchell was signing for Charlton permanently. So
I think David...
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, what he's trying to say is it's a crock of shit and don't believe a word of it. David's got a valid point to a degree. If I was the opposition team coach, I would pinpoint Brian as the weakest link, and that's where most of our goals come from. Sarkic saved our blushes at the end of the game with a very good save. He did send...
I was actually going to come on to that. The save from Sarkic, he's got a few pelters recently for...
Don't post a link.
Oh, okay. Well, because there was someone... All right. I'll nip out of that. I've just confused the hell out of everybody there, but technical side of That Mill Podcast. The save from Sarkic, I thought he didn't really have anything to do yesterday. What are you,
Connor? If you want Stevens link, it's there. Red link is Stevens, black link over the other side is for Ben.
But Ben's not giving away a signed shirt, so do my one.
But I haven't got... No, I'm joking. Cut them out.
Sarkic. He didn't have a lot to do yesterday. He had to pick the ball out of his net. Don't think it was his fault. It was those in front of him. He had nothing to do, really, for the majority of the game. And that save right at the end was a big, big save, because it could have easily gone the other way. And you lose that game. So, well done, Matty Sarkic, because it was a very, very important save. You two are like looking at Matt Damon and Bruce Willis in their prime. I'll take that. I don't know about you, but I'll take that.
Yeah, thanks. Jonathan's now gaining a fucking timeout. No,
he's not. He's not.
let's throw it out to the what do you call it? Come on, more of you. You need to like. Just like the bloody video, will you? It's easy. Just click it. Off you go. Job done. Quick. Are you both still confident in Edwards? Yes, because I think
100%.
He hasn't actually done it. Get yourself in the comments. Let us know. Are you confident in Edwards? Just type yes or no. It's really as simple as that. And I'll tell you what we'll do.
I'm just going to, Mick, I'm just going to go back to a comment that it was just put up on the screen from Bailey. How many players do you think right now Edwards is comfortable having his starting 11 opening game next year? Honestly, if we're going for the squad overall, I would imagine it's probably not more than four or five. Taking into account that the loan, obviously you'd have Norton Cuffey perhaps, and he'd Tanganga as a signing of his, but they might not be here next year. But outside of the players that are actually will be potential Millwall players or given an extension, I don't think it's very many. I think he might not get the time that he needs, not from me or us at the podcast. I'm assuming, Mickey, you agree, and a lot of us agree that Edwards is the right man for the job and he's got our full support. But I think that he's going to look to drastically change the players. The team that, as I said earlier, the team that finished the game yesterday will be a similar looking side to what he wants, with pace, movement and a little bit of creativity.
Mate, there is everyone so far suggests. Matt Damon, have a laugh. Obviously not seen you play cricket. So I'll take it.
Anthony knows you then. Yeah, Anthony's son. I've played cricket against Anthony's son on the last game of our cricket season. Anthony had the Millwall v Birmingham game up in their clubhouse, which was absolutely perfect for me. But Anthony, hope you're well.
Yeah, I think you're probably right there, David Woos. I think next season is where we see his team, and I think the players will be, once he's got a full pre-season with his team and I think he can get them fit, I think you'll see a completely different team. Get rid of this ageing bunch out of it, and then we go from there. So, yeah. Stephen, do you bat or bowl?
I'm a bowler. I can bat, but I'm predominantly a bowler.
Okay. There we go. So, yeah. Seamer,
anyone that was following my social media this morning, you'll know that I'm very pleased that the England cricket team beat India this morning in their test match. But this is that Millwall podcast, not the Millwall podcast cricket review. So
we are going to be doing a cricket game, a cricket game potentially, and a football game potentially, because unfortunately, when you were drunk and Ben was drunk, you challenged each other.
I remember that, hands down. I'll put together a team and play Ben. That's absolutely fine.
Yeah, don't worry. Ben's got a blinding team. So, yeah, me think Stephen is a bowler. Yeah, me think you're right. Do you think the coaching setup will look the same next season? No, I don't.
No, not I honestly a
don't. I don't think, personally, I don't think possibly that Adam Barrett will be here next season. He might still be in the club, but I don't know if he'll have a role within the first team coaching. See, the West Brom didn't take Wolves' second goal too well. Imagine they'd done that at the Den. I mean, on that, do you know the thing what I find mad is that we're in 2024 and the old Bill went steaming in with batons over the top of their head. And fucking steaming in on people on their heads, mate. And it won't be long before they end up killing someone, but they won't get fucking charged with it, mate. It will just be scummy football fans as always. So yeah, yes, cricket, I will play. Okay.
There you go, Mike. You're on me. You drafted
an English
in, mate.
Spinner taking 7 wickets in India. Who'd have thought it?
Superb. Excellent.
How is Barrett still at the club? Because, believe it or not, he is well liked by the board and he is well liked by the players. So it makes sense for Edwards coming in to not rock the boat too far and just keep him in to keep the team spirit. That's what I would say personally. So, yeah, not sure Marshall might be gone as well. Yeah, I think you're probably right there as well. Anyone seen that article Jed Waddy's put out about when he came back to the Den, fans were throwing £10 and £5 notes at him, idiot? I don't think they were, to be fair. But yeah, no, I haven't seen it. But if you want to post a link in here, Dan, throw on more than welcome and people can read it and make their own assumptions on it. So, yeah, keep going with the likes. Come on.
I think the other thing that people got to realise as well, when you look at when people say about do we think what the team will be like or what the coaching staff will be look like, Joe Edwards at the moment has brought in Andy Myers as his assistant and Tanganga and Obafemi. He's got no other coaching staff. He's got no other players. He might get one or two in this week. It will change under Edwards. It really, really will, but it takes time. And to back up Mickey's point, it's very well known, I think, that the players have a lot of trust in Adam Barrett. And that's why he's still around, because he's obviously a go-to for Edwards for any, you know, what's going on around, what the players' thoughts, feelings and stuff. So that's why he's there. But I don't know if that's going to be a long-term
The only comment I can say on that, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And I think that's the most diplomatic answer I will say, personally. We talked pretty much about football. We'll come back to the football in a minute. But yesterday, obviously, was the unveiling of John Berylson Way. And I think we'll just address that issue about that. So, depending what map you look at, some of them basically Ballina Road starts at the bridge. Other maps say that Ballina Road starts where it obviously Zampa Road ends, where in line with the CAF, and then the road round is Ballina all the way round into towards Silwood. So basically, the front half of the bridge is Southwark. So Alderton Road side of the railway bridge is Southwark. Obviously, it's always been Southwark when the regen stuff was going on. It was always Southwark, and then basically as you go underneath the bridge and you come out the other side, you then go into Lewisham territory, and then basically around, I think it's more really round to the right is all Lewisham. So the whole of Ballina Road is Lewisham, and then sort of round, and I think as you go back underneath the railway bridge into Silwood, it goes back to Southwark, and then obviously all the way over to the right, sort of as you get in line with the community centre all the way back over, that goes back to Lewisham. So that's why you've got a Southwark sign as you walk in off Alderton Road. And then when you get out of the ground, you have a Lewisham sign. Personally, I also think that the reason that there's a Lewisham sign like there is next to the Den is that it's an ideal opportunity for people to have their picture taken next to it. Hence why I think they've built the wall and they've done all that signing and all that there. It's just another way for people to, you know, get the thing. I have to say on there, you know, that's obviously about the road markings. And I also have to say that, you know, Millwall, fantastic working that out, that, you know, I think it was very touch and go that they were going to get it finished. And they wanted it at the time to be there for the Memorial game. And another absolute great bit of thing, I like the way that John Berylson was in alphabetical order with the rest of the fans.
Yeah.
So when the names come up, and it was like, you know, all through the names of the fans what have been lost over the last year, John Berylson was in there take in no particular order. He didn't leapfrog anybody or anyone else. He was just there in order. And I just have to say that that, again, is a fantastic gesture, really, to the fans. So, yeah, I don't think they did, to be honest. They might have done, but I can't remember it. I think they'd be a bit fucking stupid if they did. I think it would be carnage.
While you were going through the comments, I do think, going back to just on the memorial thing, I think it's one of those occasions that it's nice. It was done. I think it was done the right way. I know, obviously, there was a little bit of publicity. You know, I think BBC London had commented and had videos and stuff, but it was done the right way. I'm sure James and his family are very proud of his dad and husband.
Joe, you're going to get Chris jumping on you in a minute, mate, especially if the Chiefs get to the final and it's them and Detroit, because I think we're going to back Detroit, really.
Yeah, very, very good moment for the family. And hopefully it'll be there for many, many years to come.
Yeah, Stockholm Road is basically the storage. The old churchyard, the old church warehouse, is basically the new Lime Bike warehouse. And if anyone from Lime Bikes is watching and you want to sponsor us, then get in touch, because we could do some promos riding the Lime Bikes around the den. It's Joe John Berylson Way. That's exactly how JB would have wanted it. 100%. Absolutely 100%. I like the wall. I don't know when, you know, Vice or anyone is selling stuff there, that they'll have nowhere to put stuff through the fence or put their signs up. But I think that bit of brickwork at the thing he's doing, just remember, though, you know, I think that's going to end up getting finished going forward. I think they'll have other things done to it. I think it will probably be a line and it will be done up a bit more with Millwall stuff and all that. But yeah, I am. Just one thing what I say is that there's a guy on Hoff, but there's a guy on Twitter called T, who's T off Hoff. And he put on his Twitter account, and it's pinned to his Twitter account, and it's from about, I think it's about the 6th or the 7th of July, straight after when we got the news about JB, that he put on there, wouldn't it be great to have Millwall Football Club, the Den, John Berylson Way, you know, basically Bermondsey, I think you put Bermondsey, and then it's basically SE16 3LN, and he put that there, and I think the club saw it and all that, and then they're working on it behind the scenes. And as I said on previous shows, I think it's one of many things what will be coming. But I just think it's a nice little shout out for him, because I think he was the first person I saw publicly basically put that idea out there. Whether or not the club saw it, whether or not the club had it, but it just makes me. And who knew it as well, by the way, that Millwall's postcode was SE16 3LN. You're never going to forget that now, are you? SE16 three lines. So, yeah, or LN. So, yeah, technically. So, yeah. Joe says, let's go Lions. So there's a bit of rivalry there, especially if it gets to the...
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Super Bowl. Only concern with Joe is that he's not giving our youth a chance based on his rep. Only SA and Maku, or Marku even, have had minutes. If there's no money for transfers in the summer, we will need our youngsters. Yes, we do, but we need to have our youngsters working right.
On that point, Andrew, just out of interest, outside of Amaku and Essay, what youngsters would you like to see have game time at the moment? Who are you referring to? Because Adam Malachi has gone out on loan, so he's getting first team football with Steve Morrison at Sutton. Chin Ockley is apparently injured, so he can't actually, he won't be playing. That's why he's come back from Bromley. But who just out of interest, who are you referring to? Who would you like to see get an opportunity?
You say, what's his name, doing all right in a minute as well, isn't he? He started straight away for Sutton.
Adam Malachi. Yeah. I don't think he played yesterday, but his first game, and I think, or the first two, he started, but yesterday I don't think he did.
Okay. Talk some bollocks for a minute and we'll have a look.
On the subject again, on the youngsters, I think it's there's no coincidence, I think, that the signings of Obafemi and Tanganga are obviously bringing the average age down, going back to getting youth an opportunity. I think Alex Mitchell is an absolute shoo-in to be at least looked at by Edwards. You know, he's come a lot of praise at Lincoln, so definitely one to look out for. But I think the youth, it's also hard for Joe Edwards because he's come in at a time where we wasn't doing that badly, but we wasn't setting the world alight. This season is just transition. And I know it's frustrating. I don't particularly want to be going to games and thinking, oh, it's a transition season. But get to the end of the season and then start evaluating how good Joe Edwards is, because I think the team is going to be a lot different then. And I know it's frustrating, and I know we all sit on it. Look, Mickey, you'll agree, Ben, Joe's in the chat. We don't want to be going to games of football, seeing the team get beat, and then coming on here and talking about, oh, it's a transition and this, that, and the other. But it really is. It really is a season where we just have to be a little bit patient, get to the end of the season, and then reevaluate and go from there. It'd be hard, and that someone said earlier, it's going to be quite difficult. The next four games are going to be quite tricky. I agree. I think it's Hull, Coventry, Ipswich, and I'm not sure who the other one after that is, but I know Southampton's not too far after that. The run of fixtures are going to be very, very difficult, but I think we'll be okay. And I think we just need to give Edwards a little bit more time.
Alex Mitchell don't fit the Edwards defender. He's good, but he can't play out from the back. We don't know. We've never played him out from the back, have we? So, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say he's, but we're waiting to see. So, yeah. Under Rowett, none of the players were fit enough. I suspect same is with the youngsters, possibly.
Possibly.
Possibly. So, yeah. Once we're clear of any threat of the drop, Lee and Grant would definitely get some minutes. I think you're probably right there, to be fair. I think
possibly.
It's done. Malachi was one, but as you say, is out now on loan. I think a couple of others were recently on the bench. Let's just hope Joe will give some youngsters game time once we're safe. Rowett never did that and never would, to be fair.
No, I do think as well, though, that we hit that spell that last year, or the 2 years ago, when Zach Lovelace made the bench, we had so many injuries. Rowett had no choice but to have 16, 17 year olds on the bench. Much like in recent weeks, Edwards has had no choice but to fill the bench with some youngsters and get them in and around the first team. I agree that they maybe might need to get some game time, but I think a lot of that will come pre-season and perhaps next year.
You see, we had four successful seasons under Gary Rowett, but are we any further forward than we were under Harris? Joe Edwards could take us to the next level. I think he could. And I think the thing is with Rowett is that I just don't think Rowett had the full package. I just don't think he got on with the players well enough to be able to push it forward, or even for them to you know, run through brick walls for him. I think that was the issues you possibly got with Rowett. And yes, he kept us in the championship, and yes, we were there or thereabouts. But if he was worth his salt, then realistically he should have took us into the playoffs each season, really, but he hasn't. And are we any further under Harris? I think you're probably right. I don't think we are. because most of those players are Harris players. And if Gary Rowett really wanted to take us forward, he would have brought players in what were best suited for the lineup, what he wanted to play, rather than trying to mix and match and then suddenly change formation and everything else halfway through the season. So, yeah. My only concern is when all these loan players go back and Edwards has this massive clear out in the summer, how many players light will the squad be? 8, 9 players. Unless he's looking that he's got the youth and coming through players where he's potentially going to be bringing those through. So maybe he's just working out, getting the loans in for positions where at the moment he's got the players, but they're just not ready to come in yet. But by the time he can get them over the summer and everything else, he might be able to bring them in. So
I would say, though, so, yeah. with that though, you've got the five, you got what? Saville, Hutchinson, Leonard, Bradshaw and Barr out of contract. You'll also have Tanganga, Obafemi, Norton Cuffey, Campbell and Longman all going back. That's 10 players that could potentially be leaving the club. So it is going to be a bit of a rebuild job over the summer. That's why I think a couple of those players out of contract may stay. But I think that's what Edwards wants. Edwards, if you look at, right, I think, correct me if I'm wrong here, I think Bart was signed by Neil Harris. Leonard was signed by Neil Harris. Hutchinson was signed by Neil Harris.
Yeah.
I think Bradshaw was signed by Neil Harris. And initially, George Saville was bought to the club by Harris. I know he left and come back, but they were all Neil Harris signings. And unless we come away from that, which is, you know, they've stalwarts, they've played a lot of games, they've been good players for us, I think that's what we might need. I think you could even look in and say that Jake Cooper was a Neil Harris signing. Again, someone that Joe Edwards might not want, but we're still carrying players from 3 managers ago. It is concerning of a big rebuild, but maybe that needs to happen.
Ain't Joe Wright been sold?
Yeah, he's gone to Galway. He's gone to Galway.
Yeah, well, he's gone, Chris. So, he's I hope he gets a chance there, but he won't be getting a chance of us. So, yeah. Alex Mitchell played well against Gillingham in pre-season, has brilliant strength, and his long ball passing was really good. See, when we played Sutton, I spoke to his dad. His dad was there. Joe in the comments will probably confirm as well, but we spoke to him. And he only got into football really late, and Gary wasn't necessarily eye to eye with him, but he only got into football late. He was a very, very, very good rower, hence why he's quite a big lad and all that lot. But yeah, I he's, considering that he ain't been into football long, he's not too bad, is he? So yeah, trust the process. Yes, trust the process. I have a bad feeling we're at our FFP limit now. So unless we use the youngsters, we'll have to rely on more loans who probably will never sign for us. Possibly.
I think, Andrew, there's also the club are allegedly, I'll use your favourite word, Mickey, there, the sellouts that every game, not yes, they didn't do it yesterday, but there's a lot of games that have been sellouts, but there's been an awful lot of seats dotted around. I think that we might be close to the financial fair play. That there, it's interesting a way you can get around it, but that what I think looks favourable on financial fair play is if you sell a homegrown player. So if you're able to generate money from a player that you've developed yourself, the books are balanced and it looks better, and there's a little bit more flexibility or it's taken into account more favourably. So if there are any youngsters, and I know that's going to spark up, people are going to say SA and Amaku, but that could be a way of balancing the books a little bit and putting us in a position where we can actually sign some players rather than just loan them. Because I agree, loaning players isn't going to do us any favours, because if they're any good, they're just going to go back to their club and someone else is going to buy them. We need permanent signings coming into the club.
No, see, I'm trying to see when their accounts are due, to be fair, because it used to be around December.
I think you have to submit by the 31st of January.
I mean, last year's figures showed a pre-tax loss of 12.6 million. Wage bill, nearly 22.5 million. That's for the whole club.
that's the whole club. But the obviously the bulk of that is going to be on the first team. But yeah, financial fair play, they you know, they, we do have to be careful with that, and that's why we don't really spend the money that we do. But I think there are ways that the club, let's say the sellouts, the maybe there's homegrown players that they could look at. And it wouldn't surprise me, going off on a tangent now, it wouldn't surprise me that they brought in this fella from, or allegedly brought in this fella from Palace. To, he's not a first team. It's not first team recruitment. It's a local talent to bring into the academy. That doesn't surprise me, because if you get some of these kids that are like wonder kids and go for 20 million, the club's books get balanced immediately. So I think there's a lot of work going on behind the scenes to help with the financial side of things. It's just, how do we get that to turn into developing the first team and having better players that are our players?
No, that's it. Don't worry, Chris. Where are we there? Don't worry, Chris. I know someone who knows FFP inside out, and I will speak to them and get them on. You're spot on, Stephen. If we sell SA and or Amaku, we could be losing two of our best players, who replacements may not be as good. Yep. Mm-hmm. We might be able to claim relief in FFP due to Husky not paying up. Could, I think you might have a valid point there. But I think also the bit is that this is the third year, isn't it, with the COVID restrictions in. I think this is the end year of where the COVID is. And again, you know, through COVID, we took, you know, there was a big increase. I mean, looking at this, there was a big increase in fans coming back to the Den. But again, you know, you're looking at 5.8 million on 22, when 21 was 1.4 million from fan income. So there is going to be loss, but I can't see. I think it's something like, isn't it 33 million or something over 3 years, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is, yeah. But and again, if it's, I don't know. Million,
yeah, and lost. We could be on close.
We could be, but that's why we operate the way that we do. The players that we sign are players that are sort of, I don't want to say that they're not wanted, but Tanganga, you know, coming back from an injury, Obafemi has had injuries, not played too much. They're good players for this level. And I was talking to someone at the ground yesterday that said that there's bigger clubs in this division, at the top of the division, that would probably sign those players. So we are signing better players, but we're also signing players that have got injury problems or have got, it's always been the same. Mason Bennett is a prime example. If Mason Bennett wasn't made of glass, he'd probably be a really good championship footballer. But sadly, every time he got tackled, he was out for 3 or 4 weeks. So that's why they come to us. But that, again, you know, that's why we operate in the way that we do. I think there's change off the field that they're trying to fix that, and they're trying to be better. But I think it's a case of that's going to be a steady over time process. I wouldn't be surprised, and this is just pure, I'm not this transfer window, but in the summer, I really wouldn't be surprised. Jake Cooper's got a long-term contract, because that's what Millwall announced. He signed it obviously a couple of months ago, didn't he? I wouldn't be surprised if offers were to come in for him over the summer. Again, if it's from Scotland or other places, I wouldn't be surprised if he sold, because it would help balance the books, because of the fee that we paid for him was nominal. But that's just me putting two and two together and thinking, is he going to fit under Joe Edwards? And he's a player that potentially is, we've got worth, because he's got a longer contract.
Yeah.
The team, one thing for me is that when watching our games, it seems there's so many players that don't look bothered, which could be the reason why the fight keeps going. No heart. I agree with certain players, JR Lions MFC. There's certain players that I think don't look like that they're the type to be up for the Millwall fight, the Millwall way, what you expect. I don't think there's many players that play in our team at the moment that don't. They're not trying. It's just, it's not always at 100%. I think Joe Bryan falls into that category. I think Joe Bryan on his day could be a very, very good footballer at this level, and a glowing reference at Fulham. But as people keep saying to me, in that Fulham side, Was he exposed defensively? No, he wasn't, because Fulham were the best team in the league and they got 100 points. Now he's playing in a team that does get exposed defensively. You see that he's not quite the defender that maybe people thought that he was. And, he, you know, he knows his body. He goes in for tackles sort of 50-50 and things like that. But I do agree. I do agree that, sometimes the fight, and it's not even just the fight. It's the mentality. We concede a goal and our players look like that they're drained of any ability. And that's it. Oh, we're going to give up. We're finished. We've got, you know, the other team are going to score a second. And that needs to change. And that's, again, going back to, is our captain at the moment a leader that can galvanize this team and get them, you know, get them fixed up? For me, it's not. Sorry, for me, he's not.
No, you're right. I think we are close, but I mean, I don't know. I can't. There seems to be nowhere. So Millwall have noted that the club is well within. This was last year's Millwall have noted that the club is well within the 39 million losses allowed over a 3-year period.
Connor, think we will get a new sponsor next season. They will have, for me, they will have no. They'll have no choice. You have to have a sponsor. They can't have no revenue from that, because literally every club in the football league has a sponsor that makes money at some point. So they'll have to. Dan Riggs, Danny might get sold as well. They're not getting in the team and he's under a long-term contract. Again, I'm not saying that you're right. Danny is a prime player that come through the academy that would help with the financial fair play. It's one of the reasons why Chelsea have sold a lot of their youngsters and are looking to potentially sell Conor Gallagher. That's because it helps them.
Yeah.
It helps them with balance the books. So it is a prime example. I'm not saying that we're going to look and try and sell all the players that have come through the academy, but if lucrative offers come in for those players, I think a discussion would certainly be had, and it might be a way of sorting out the finances off the pitch. Josh, need Hutch or Sav back in the squad. The only proper leaders we have, 100%. Just looking at our players' wages, Joe Bryan on $32,500 a week, while Billy Mitchell on $577,000. I don't know where you're looking, Jonathan, but I don't think those figures are quite accurate. I wouldn't take no notice of those. Stephen Diggins, we get players that are injury prone. No one else will take the chance on them. That's how we get them. It's a shame we can't push the boat out for Cresswell. Homegrown and young. He wouldn't be classed as homegrown for the financial fair play because it has to come through an academy. Obviously, homegrown being English, yes, of course. I think Cresswell is a ship that sailed, I'm afraid, though. I think now we've got Tanganga and Cresswell seemingly made up with Thark. I don't think that's a possibility anymore. I think Danny Mack could make a good centre-half, did well in that position recently and would save us a bob or two on an expensive centre-half if we can't get someone like Cresswell. I think Danny's been okay in that centre-half position. I think he's done the best job available that he can do. I would rather see him at right-back, in an actual right-back position, but certainly I don't think Danny was one as well that would want to leave the club. I think he would be happy to play wherever he's asked to play. Definitely could save us a bit of money later down the line, but so could the likes of Okoloye and Alex Mitchell, two actual centre halves.
Looking at 2029, November of 2029, when the figures come out, we were showing a 34 million loss over the previous 3 years. And then 2021, we were showing 23 million over the previous 3 years. I don't know. I will speak to someone and find out on the FFP, because there is a lot of rumour about whether or not we are close to the limit or not in there. So, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I'm sure Steve Kavanagh, he come out and said in an interview that we were close to the line. I don't know. What I'm talking about with financial fair play and potentially selling our players is just my opinion and my feelings on it. But I don't know the financial fair play rules off like the back of my hand, but knowing what I know and trying to put two and two together, it just makes sense that there's a lot more development on youth. And that's why Joe Edwards has come in, because it's a way of potentially balancing the books and, you know, becoming some, like some of these clubs that develop these players, get massive transfer fees for them, and then reinvest it into the first team. 577 for Billy Mitchell, far too much, surely. I'm not going to comment on that, but I think Billy Mitchell's time in the first team possibly will be very, very restricted moving forward. Dan can see Danny is happy. Oh, he's, but isn't happy with the lack of game time, though. No, he's probably not. He's probably not. But unfortunately, again, a topic of conversation I was having at the Den yesterday, we've always had youngsters come into the team. Look at Ben Thompson in League One. Was a good League One player. Did a job for us. You had other players that come in and were good for that level. And then when you got to the Championship, you realised that they weren't quite going to make it. Billy Mitchell and Danny McNamara have been good in the Championship. They've built their reputation. They've got to a point. Are they able to take us to the next level? That's the question that I think, and that's what's always happened with our youngsters. SA and Maku might be the ones that push you a little bit further and demand the transfer fees. But we've always had youngsters that break in. You think they're going to be really, really good, and then they find their level. So maybe Danny Mac and Billy Mitchell may never go on to be the players that we thought they were, but they'll build a good career around this level, maybe top end of League One. And that's not a dig at, that's not a dig at them. It's just how it is. You know, everybody gets a wonder kid, and they, I don't know, they score on their debut, or they have a fantastic, you know, first five games, and everyone goes, oh, he's going to play in the Premier League. They're going to be 20 million, 30 million. But eventually players get found out. I mean, the prime example of that is Connor Wilkinson all those years ago, who thought he was too good for us. And I think since he left us, he's had about 30 clubs. So it just goes to show that when they're young, you know, no one really knows what's gonna happen. Fleming, I still think we make a profit off him, even though he's a shadow of himself last season. Clubs tend to only look at stats, and he has tied top goal scorer and assists in all competitions. I agree, stats drive the game. We won't get the money that we possibly would have got in the summer for Fleming, but if you're looking at numbers, and his numbers do continue to improve, yeah. He will. I think we'll make a profit, but I don't think it'll be as much. I don't think it'll be as much as what it would have been over the summer. With Billy now being fourth choice, think he could do a job for a League One side, could get a decent fee for him. Possibly. I don't think it'd be this transfer window, though. I think, Campbell's not ever going to play, I don't think, again, unless we've got a massive injury crisis and you've got four midfielders. So maybe. I would keep Fleming and build around him as a striker, of course. Yeah, I agree. I think it would be really, I think it'd be interesting to have Fleming and Obafemi as a partnership together. Billy is not a bad player. I do like him, but sometimes I feel dead play or goes back too much. And that's the million-dollar thing. The top players in this level, the players that go on, get the ball and go forward. The players that stagnate and stay, you know, as an average Championship footballer or drop down the leagues, are the ones that go backwards and don't progress. And I think that's where Billy needs to get better. Yes, there's talk that Rowett had potentially asked him to stay back and be more defensive. But if you look at Casper Dunor, always wanting to turn, always wanting to get on the front foot. And I think that's what we need to see from him. But I feel like I have massively been waffling and going through the comments. So I'm going to hand back to Mickey, who looks like he's about to do a giveaway.
Going to do a giveaway. Yeah, those of you who are watching, you know that randomly throughout these streams now, we do giveaways and it's time. So, yeah, there we go. Anyone who's commented today will be entered into the draw. If you've already won, you're going to be redrawn. There we go. He's not won yet, is he?
I don't think so.
Josh, the easy way to do it is either drop us a DM on Twitter. If you don't follow us on Twitter, why not? Just send us an email at info@thatmillpodcast.co.uk, and you have won yourself I nearly said earring, but it's a key ring. Or the next game, just catch hold of one of us and pick it up there. There is a
and if you don't follow us on Twitter, then you ain't getting a prize.
Yeah, nice one, Stephen. So yeah, so what we've been doing, we're going for about an hour or so. I think we've pretty much gone through loads of stuff.
I think the only thing left really is that the transfer window ends this week, and I think there'll be movement. I do think there'll be another player coming in. Maybe only
two.
I think one more. I wouldn't be surprised if there's maybe an outgoing or two. I can see Campbell being recalled by Luton and going elsewhere. And I still got it in my mind that Romain Essay is going to end up going out on loan. I hope not, but I still think.
Connor says there'll be. Who do you think the two will be then, Connor? If you say Alex Pritchard, I will put you in a timeout.
Permanently.
Yeah, permanently. What's his name's leaving thing, isn't he? So, yeah, and who's the other ones coming back from? Coming back from Saudi? Bells
Jordan Henderson.
No,
Henderson.
No, the other one.
Benzema. Benzema. Yeah.
We could always
keep him. We'll have him. He'll turn down Arsenal for us, yeah. Aren't we supposed to be getting the young? Yes, we are.
Yeah, we are. Who it is, no one knows.
No. There's whispers, but...
Do you know what, Chris? I might even watch that tonight, mate. Just to say, I'll watch it on my phone. I'll probably find a link somewhere. I'll have a link for it somewhere. But, yeah, I might watch that because you have made us sort of... I don't know, sort of, I'm not going to say support because NHL bores the shit out of me, but I will probably watch and hope that they get. But when I was a kid, I used to love the 49ers. I can't remember who used to play for them, but that was at the time where everyone loved, where you had the fridge playing for Chicago Bulls, didn't you, and the NFL. And it was at the time when you had those little suites, what used to do the helmets. You probably won't remember them, Stephen. Chris might, but yeah, you used to get little helmets in little suites like you do now with the old Pokemon cards and all that, but they used to do the little helmets. And I'm rambling again. I'll get moaned for that in the comments, so I'll slow down. We can only bring one more loan player in, so we need to remove Campbell. Would be a shame if SA goes. Lad's got a lot of potential, just needs more game. I could see 100%. SA potentially going to Sutton or...
I think it'd be League One. League One will be the will be where he ends up on loan. He won't drop down to League Two.
The 20-year-old Iraqi bloke from Wimbledon. Yeah, there's lots of rumours about him. What's the whispers, Stephen? Come on in, Stephen.
You've just teed me up nicely with that previous comment. The fella from Wimbledon has been touted that I'm trying to get his name, Ali Al-Hamadi. He's got a few goals for Wimbledon. There's also, they've got someone else there, haven't they, who is from Chelsea, or he's gone back to Chelsea, and I can't think of his name.
No, he's in the group. But
begins with C. It begins with C. I'll have to dig it out. But there's whispers on those. There's whispers on other players from Chelsea. I'm not going to go into detail on how I know that, but those people who have passed on potential messages are possibly in the chat. But there's weird. There's
you mean the guy on the players' entrance? You can't mean Claude, because Claude's not Claude.
No,
English.
No. There's a couple of fans. There's a couple of fans that have heard some whispers. But I'm not gonna mention the names, but the person the name that keeps being linked with us is Santos from Chelsea, but We'll see on that.
I'm worried about that. So, I mean, what Peter's saying there. Do you mean Claude? Claude's English. He is a big lad. I don't know who the guy is on the players' entrance. But did you know the guy on the players' entrance used to play NFL for Pittsburgh? And if you get him talking, he has a box with his NFL ring in it.
Fair enough.
Mate, I'm gonna go ask him. Yeah, that's the player he was on about.
That's the one. Yeah, that's the one. Oh god.
Yeah, I know you're on about, I think. So yeah. I think you're on about Claude, who does the exec. He's a big lump. I think it's Claude, so yeah. No. Can we stop mentioning Lurch? Because fucking
yeah,
it got out of hand. So
it did get out of hand.
Yeah. Right, for a couple of things then. KC Kadeem was obviously Kadeem, who was fighting last night for a world title. Unfortunately, he didn't win. It was a cracking fight. And the reason that I talk about him, there's a video where I did an interview with him on YouTube. He is trained by a Millwall fan, and the guy who trains him, Rich Sawyer, he's got another fighter coming up shortly, who's got a world championship fight as well. So, yeah, misery, you know, commiserations to you, Kadeem, you know, Casey, but it's boxing for you, isn't it, really? You know, you win some, you lose some. It is what it is. Also, hats off to everybody this morning who met at Sid Cup Station at 6:30 this morning and done the run for Charlie Wynn. Basically, I have got notes for this, so I will just read it out, because I spoke about him last week or the last show I was on briefly, and I'll just tell you, Charlie Wynn basically is a good lad. He was a boxer, so give you a bit of background. So Charlie was 2 wins from 2 pro fights. He'd just come out of amateur and he was just coming into his pro career. 2 wins from 2 pro fights, and he was preparing for the third when he had a mishap on Friday the 16th of March 2018. He was 28 at the time, and the understanding is that he had 6 rounds sparring. The session was called to a halt, and he wobbled heavily in the last round. Massive thank you goes out to London Air Ambulance, because their team essentially saved his life. They were 2 minutes away from the Prue Hospital, and they decided that they wanted to take him to King's. So they directed the team to get him ready for theatre at King's, and they took him to King's. Frank is the air ambulance man. And he also sends Charlie best wishes every anniversary. So massive, massive thanks to Frank. I don't know your surname. Charlie basically suffered 2, possibly 3 strokes in quick succession in transport to King's. The Wynn Foundation, which you'll see a lot more of going forward, by the way, because I'm going to heavily support that through this channel in whatever way I can, and also giving it some publicity. It's been started by a fellow ex-pro boxer and a good friend of Charlie called Danny Carr. And he was the one who organised the run this morning. They ran basically from Sid Cup Station all along the stations, all the way to Charing Cross. And then obviously anyone who ran, if they wanted to drop off and get a train home, they could. But they were all there at 6:30 this morning, mate, run and went from there. So hats off to them. And, you'll see a lot more of the foundation, because Charlie needs to raise some money, one for the foundation so they can support other boxers who've had serious head injuries. And also the fact that, you know, we need to raise some money for Charlie, because the NHS, I think, only pays so much. And if you relied on them to get all the treatment you want, it would take forever. So he needs constant care and whatnot. I'm going to check with his dad in that soon. I've got a video and some background and whatnot regarding him over the next few weeks, months. Peter Sullivan, I'll try to find out Frank's surname. My daughter was one of the paramedics on scene first. Please do. But I'm looking at, I want to do something for the London Air Ambulance going forward at some point. And just, you know, if we could raise 200 quid for him, then fucking great. If we can raise a bit more, fantastic. But I do think that I'm a sales rep. I spend my life driving around a large area I cover. And if I ever have an accident on one of the motorways, it's going to be an air ambulance that comes to me. It was an air ambulance that saved Charlie's life. And, you know, giving something a little bit back to them because they are unfunded. The government gives them diddly shit. So, yeah.
Peck and Pyatt, great job on the run, fellas. Yeah, just to echo, excellent. Obviously, you know, charity organisations and stuff, we try to support as much as we can, and people doing stuff like that's excellent. Kudos to your daughter, Peter. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely. Listen, those of you who are asking about the link and all that lot, mate, I will post it straight after. Once this show finishes, I will post the links in the show description. Stephen will send them to me. And I'll post his link in the show description. So if you just click on there afterwards, rather than trying to figure out if we post a link in here, it works, it don't work, whatever, because it hasn't before, is it? I will post it in the show description. And if you're listening to this on a podcast, just look in the show description and you will see the link there. Mm-hmm. Peter, just another thing on there, obviously, Peter. Is your daughter in touch with the family or not? Because if you do want, I can, you know, put her in touch and whatnot. If you're not already in touch, but yeah. And yeah, if you get French surname, then I'll give them a shout out. So yeah, that is pretty much it for us for another week. Stephen did well on Friday. I'll be doing the show next week with someone else, and we will be trying to go live to Stephen on his 24-hour stream.
I'm going to try to pop in during my stream onto the show. I don't know how that's going to work. I will try my best to. Guys, if you've donated, thank you very much from me. Obviously, this will be the last show or live show I do before the stream. So I will try and pop in next week to let you know how I'm going. You can watch my 24-hour gaming stream over on Twitch. I've got all the links on my social media. The whole event will be on there. Pretty much what you see now, it'd be me, but just playing games and raising money for Mind. As I said earlier, I've got the Simon Millwall shirt. All donations made will go into a draw to win that, and I will arrange getting that to the lucky winner after next weekend. If you would still like to donate, Mickey is going to post the link in the description. I have just seen a link from Connor. What is your tag Twitch tag, Stephen? I don't know it off the top of my head. What I will do, I will drop you a message or send me a message on Facebook or Twitter, and I'll get that over to you, or look on my social media. It is all over there. I don't know it off the top of my head. American Rover, what games you play in 24-hour chess? No, I'm not that exciting. It's likely to be things like Call of Duty, FIFA, a couple of our PlayStation games, but it's all for a good cause. Mind are a wonderful charity, and Alex, Stephen, no offense, I'd rather watch a rerun of the QPR game. Yeah, no, that's fine. I agree. It's not for everybody. It's just an idea that I had to raise some money for mine. But thank you if you've donated, and I'll be in touch with the lucky winner.
Top people, make sure you press like. Make sure you subscribe if you're new to this. That would be a great 24-hour playing Super Mario. Yeah,
I love Super Mario. What a game. So
also, just one question before I go, and I'm not going to give you any more information right now than this. If there is anyone who works for a car manufacturer who has electric cars, please get in touch with me. I'm not going to say publicly what it is at all yet, because it's something I am plotting behind the scenes, and even he don't know what it is. But if you do or know anyone who has a connection to electric cars of some form or another, I couldn't give a shit if it's a van, to be honest with you, if you sell electric vans, but something, I need potentially a couple of electric vehicles for maybe a weekend for something I'm plotting. And if you know someone, then please help me out. So yeah. Mickey could do a darts marathon with the new 16-year-old sensation, called it Littler and Larger. Thank you very much, Steve Bevan.
Don't forget to like and subscribe, guys. Mickey is very, very pleased with the subscriber count going up at the moment. So good, to keep him happy, to keep him happy, which then means that we're all happy. Please like and subscribe. It means a lot to us. And just for any confusion, just if there's any, just I'll say this because I always remember this, for any confusion for people, if you're watching for the first time, to subscribe on YouTube, it's free. It doesn't cost any money. You just have to press the button. So there isn't any cost to it, but please like and subscribe.
Is it free, Stephen? Wow.
It is free.
Didn't know that. Yeah. What a great thing that YouTube is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's great. So, where am I? I am going to leave. Where am I leaving? I was going to leave it with a video, and I've just needed to find the video I wanted. And, yeah, I don't think I'm going to.
See, you should have been like me. You should have been like me. I didn't have any fancy videos on Friday. It was just straight talking, and that was it. This is what happens when production doesn't go well.
Yeah, no, that's it. It was. I was trying to find a video, but it's probably now been taken down. Probably, but yeah, I was going to try and find that Benny Hill video, but yeah, I just can't find it. So, yeah, make sure you like and subscribe if you see any of our videos across social media. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, etc. Just give it a like and go from there. Connor, you're taking the piss. plotting a fight hole. No. Goodbye. Good show. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tom. Space.
Have a good
Thanks,
week.
Thanks, Alex. Thanks, Peter. Enjoy your weeks.
Not in an electric car unless you're going to give me a super-powered electric car, mate. Christ, you know. Fucking too old and too fat for that. That is it from us. We're all done. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.